Love.
Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. This is Love Line.
Love Line.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and tonight we're thrilled to have Seth MacFarlane here from The Family Guy.
How you doing? How are you guys?
We're doing good, Drew. He's like a schoolgirl. Giddy.
I'm just quivering.
Oh, come on.
Let me say this about The Family Guy. I feel like the guy who discovered the band. You know, I was into REM way back in 79. Yes.
You were there from the start.
And we keep thanking him for it, and he keeps reminding us of it.
Yeah, I know, but I have to because people, you know, that's like the, I thought that, I told you that chick was hot. Denise Richards, man, when she was doing that alien movie with the spiders and stuff, that Starship Troopers, man, she was hot.
By the way, you did point her out then.
I pointed her out, and I want credit. That's all I'm saying.
You guys, I remember you saying there was this girl that
you guys climbed on. You Johnny come lately.
It's worth giving you credit. You've been plugging us since day one.
Some people are leaders and some people are followers.
I tell you,
follow on here.
Yes, you do, Drew, and you do a good job. Now be
Thank
quiet.
You.
The thing about The Family Guy is it's got legs, this show. Guys at the office over at Kimmel's place talking about it all the time. Just today, I didn't say, oh, Seth MacFarlane's coming in. They just started bringing it up. And in a way, now I've seen every episode four times, and now everyone else is getting on board with it. So I feel like a little left out, like I shot my wad a year ago. Now I just watch the ones with me in it. But so I'm looking forward to the new episodes coming out. But it must be nice because, I mean, obviously there was a time 2 years ago when you thought this thing had a fork stuck in it.
Yeah, we were, you know, the show was dead. It was gone. And you know, it was the DVD sales and the Cartoon Network airings that brought it back. And they tell me that's the first time it's happened with a network television show.
It's got to be nice and give you a little bit of faith in humanity and the human spirit.
Yes,
that, and the system we call television too.
Yes,
that it can respond to that.
Yeah, that people can recognize good work, support it. The networks can understand that and respond to it accordingly. So 16 new episodes you're working on, I overheard you saying.
Yes, 16 episodes of American Dad, which is the new show, and then 35 new episodes of Family Guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Which will bring us to 75. So we're pushing 100.
You should see, you know, over at E, where E is, he has an entire floor in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And they do everything from the voice to the pictures.
E's only one floor, though, Drew. I mean, just to be fair.
He has the only 1.5.
Okay, Drew, I'm just kidding. Don't you get the puss off your face?
I'm trying to follow.
Go ahead.
Too quick.
So you went over there and did VO work over there.
But this guy, I was just telling Stryker, he's like over there like erasing, you know, it's looking at angles of drawings. I mean, every little aspect of every single frame.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
He's got his thumb in every pie over there.
Anal retentive, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, you gotta be if you want the good final product.
Mm.
And Seth, of course, Crank Anchor's on tonight. By the way,
final product
10:30 on Comedy Central. Got to thank Seth for doing some great voices on Crank Anchor.
Man. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, so before we get to it, and we can talk about American Dad, which is coming out, another animated series from the mind of Seth MacFarlane, which is coming out after the Super Bowl.
I saw a clip of that. The dad is a CIA agent, an overzealous CIA agent.
Where did you see the clip?
When I was over visiting these guys.
Oh, okay.
And the daughter's sort of a hippie, as I recall.
Yeah, it's kind of...
But the great thing is they live with an alien Paul Lynde.
Mm.
An alien who talks like
alien
Paul Lynde.
Talks like
Perfect.
Paul Lynde.
Okay,
it's kind of a Family Guy meets All in the Family sort of thing. It's a little more political. It's mm-hmm. you know, skews kind of left wing. It's you know, it'll
As opposed to the highly conservative humor of Family Guy.
Exactly. Well, as opposed to the radically right-wing views of Peter. Of Stewie.
Is, you know, animation's expensive to do, but ultimately, if a show gets like Friends, then that's got to get more expensive if everyone's getting $1 million an episode. Is how does it work out? Like, how the price is compared to like just a little moderately successful sitcom?
It's about the same. I mean, the
Korean Sweat House he runs, Color in the Picture, they really start demanding.
Yeah, that really keeps the cost down. Yeah. But for an animated half hour sitcom, it's about the same as a show like, you know, say that 70s show or it hovers around $1 million per episode. I think obviously when something like Friends, it shoots way up.
Yeah.
Or The Simpsons, you know, they spend a lot more, but
you don't get the, you know what I would do? Here's what you should have done. And maybe you did. If you're smart, you did this. I hate when people do that because you never did it. If you're smart, you would have done the following.
I probably didn't do it. Whatever
I didn't
it is.
Do that, but I am making right now, if that helps. I would bring everyone, Mila Kunis and Alex Borstein, and bring everyone in. And the day I hired them, have a person standing next to them doing the same voice.
Oh, just let them know. And just to keep them on notice.
Keep them on their toes.
Now, this guy, go back to the Ralphs and do the stocking. Okay, so he's working over there.
I believe that was Mila. She stepped right in.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. There was an original Meg.
Oh, there was an original Meg?
She quit her job at Walmart and came to work for us.
Who was the? Oh, we don't even know who the original Meg was, right? Did she do a few episodes?
There have been three. The original Meg was Lacey Chabert.
Oh, and, from the Party of Five.
From Party of Five, and she, we never really got the full story as to why she couldn't do the rest of the series. Yeah. We heard it was
busy.
I don't even know. It was some sort of I don't know.
She's like the first drummer from the Partridge Family.
Yeah, she was wonderful. She did a great job.
Unfortunately, she's ending up like somebody from the original Beatles.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like Pete Best or something?
Yeah.
Sure, there weren't that many original Beatles.
but you know what I mean?
let me go through my Rolodex. There are thousands
Shemp.
Of them. All right, so she passed on. Then there was a second Meg?
She was the first one that aired. There was one that... never actually aired, and then Lacey was the second one, and then Mila was Mila's done by far the majority of the shows,
I don't even remember Lacey, although now it sounds familiar now that I hear it.
When you watch it now, you hear Mila.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great. She brings bite to that character.
But I mean, even when you watch the old Meg voices, you superimpose Mila on top.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you kind of hear her, I guess.
Yeah. Is Mila doing Lacey doing Meg, or
Mila's,
are they just
Mila's
doing,
doing
own
her
thing?
Own thing? She's doing her Meg has some Keith. Spark to it. She's not afraid to call her father a fat bastard.
Sure.
You know, she's...
Speaking of voices, Seth, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, Seth and I, you know, we spoke. Yeah. I went to a party of his where we didn't speak. Locked himself in a room.
Yeah, I heard about that after
hours.
The fact.
I was looking all over for him. He has a grand piano, by the way, in his living room, which...
What's your
lets
musical
the ladies
training?
Know it means business.
You know, I've been playing that thing for about 10 years, and
but I mean, the songs that Brian sings, for instance, are pretty amazing.
Well, you know, I took voice lessons for a few years. I mean, I took a lot of singing lessons when I was younger, but when I came out here, I was referred to a couple, both in their 90s, who used to do they were in the Henry Mancini chorus. They did, the old Johnny Mercer song. They just did everything you can possibly imagine. And they, I trained with them for a few years because we were doing all these musical numbers on the show, and it really was great.
Vocally,
Did
you write the lyrics and the music and stuff? Well, you're sort of transposing. You're ripping music off.
Some of it's
homage.
Original. We have an album coming out that's done in the style of the. Rat Pack at the Sands.
Oh my God!
CD. It's a big 55-piece orchestra, and
wow,
it's taken us almost a year to do it. And the music is by Walter Murphy, who did the Family Guy theme, and unbelievably talented composer. Used to arrange for Johnny Carson.
Brian and Stewie on the road in the train was a great musical episode.
Yeah, that was an old Hope Crosby song.
Yeah.
From the,
that's what it
Road to Morocco.
It was a road.
Which I'm sure the kids are all familiar with.
Oh, they all, first off, they ran out and bought the DVD.
The kids love
as soon
Bob
as they
Hope.
Came out.
The other song that impressed was when Brian was singing to the old opera singer.
Yeah. That was an original song that we wrote for the...
That I was listening and thinking, oh my God, this is difficult stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, it's good. It's advanced. Yeah. It's sort of...
That won us
Nobel Peace
Prize. One of our only Emmys.
Oh,
Emmy. If I can be a little cocky. Yeah, there we go.
It's nice. All right, so what I was saying before I got diverted with the grand piano was, is, you know, Seth and I consider us, you know, friends.
Absolutely, we're pals.
And I talked about getting a little voiceover work on the new Family Guy, and lo and behold, Drew goes in and does a session before moi. And, you know, I am kind of the voice of death. I don't know if you got
McDonald's. Nobody died in the first five episodes.
Well,
so you
I'm just saying, Seth.
Yeah, death will reappear very, very soon. We've been
30 episodes.
We've been kicking around some ideas for that character.
I'm saying I'm versatile.
Fret not.
All right, I do me. I can do this voice, and I can do it with one nostril closed. That's the left one, and I can do it with the right one, and I can do it with them both open.
So
yes,
right there, that's three things to
that's
work.
Three
with.
Voices. Yeah. True. Yes.
Yes, three.
You look
three.
Like you're going for something.
No, I was just thinking, one of the producers mentioned playing the devil, and I thought, devil and death. Oh, my.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'm just saying, if we make it through a whole season, and Drew has done the VO work, and I haven't, it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be awkward.
It's going to
be awkward. Well, we can't let that happen.
Let's not.
All right. Okay.
Heather?
Yes?
25.
Yep.
You just shoehorned me into some episode, that's all. As a matter of fact, I think you should break down the fourth wall, as we call it. I didn't train with the 9-year-old twins, but I still know where the fourth wall is, all right? And I can show you where the door is.
Oh, boy.
All right, now just listen to me. We break down the fourth wall.
I am so uncomfortable.
And you appear as yourself.
And I just say, it's Adam Carolla doing a voiceover. and Brian can apologize to the people at home. I promised the guy when I was drunk I would give him some voiceover. We didn't see anything organically that he could do. But he's actually marching through the scene doing a voice. Just
doing his own voice. Like admission to the audience.
Become like the monkey in the closet. You'll just kind of show up. And
this is really uncomfortable. Doesn't have anything to do with the story. But here's Adam, everybody. And
thanks.
You know, we're just going to...
Thanks, Seth. I mean Stewie. Oh, Christ. Well, anyway, let's just keep rolling. Promises were kept. God bless you. I didn't really prepare anything. Then the music starts swelling. And I'm out of there.
Yeah,
and you go right back to the thing.
Jesus, you know what?
Yeah, break down that fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Heather?
Yep.
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I guess my questions are, you guys were talking earlier about men liking younger women. There are some women, like myself, I can't be with an older man at all. I'm not attracted to him. It's a big issue. Yeah. And I want to know, is that normal?
Yucky issue? I don't know what you're saying.
It's fine. It's no account
I think
for
it's
taste.
Kinda, it has to be a whole Drew thing and his psychological analysis, because my mom dated a lot of older men.
You know, it's interesting. I have a friend that whose mother is older than her dad, and she only likes younger men.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's interesting. Whatever. It's whatever, Heather. Listen,
that's
all kinds
fascinating,
of reasons.
Drew.
No, but the point is there are reasons that people come up with certain sorts of tastes, so to speak, and yours is because of your experience with your mom, whatever. Right. That's fine.
Well, you like younger, like you're 25. You're like 23?
Yeah.
You're like 11. What do you
No, 22 to like 30, and 30's pushing it.
Okay, but you're 25,
ouch.
So...
Those guys aren't younger.
It's a great society we're living in where if a 25-year-old dates a 28-year-old, she's dating a younger man, she's older.
Look at the...
Well, I kind of have this dilemma now because I like this guy who I've known for a while, and he's a little bit younger, which is just fine, but he's my best friend. And, we got intimate, but now he's, like, two states away. And, I don't know, I fantasize about him a lot, and I want to know, that's got to be normal, right?
Well, why
is
he
like a guy?
You say he's your best friend, but did you like him or did he like you at some point?
He started it. We both like each other, but he initiated it when we got
We're going to break it down though. So the fact is, she at one time didn't respond to him. That's why they became friends. Finally, he was able to break through in a weak moment, and she responded and now likes him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
We had 2 weekends of unbelievable sex. Basically,
I know, but him initiating the sex doesn't mean he's the one who likes her. That's the beauty of being a guy.
Yeah,
you can actually like the person less than they like you, and be the one who initiates. and finishes the sex, by the way.
Strangely.
Yes.
But I, more
so,
often than not.
So, and then he moves two states away. Why does he do that if he's in love and he finally has his conquest in his dream?
I don't know. I don't think he's in love with me, but he's actually in the Air Force.
I see. Okay, well, let me just try to get something straight. How was the friendship started? Who was attracted to who first?
We were both attracted to each other.
And then why was it a friendship? Why wasn't it a relationship right at the start?
Because I still had feelings for my ex, and he still had feelings for his ex, and we did not want to do the rebound thing that most people do.
It's rarely that both... Why don't you speak for yourself?
Yeah.
You weren't willing to do a rebound thing, and so that's fine.
All right. Yeah. So, then you guys had amazing sex, and he went off because he's obligated.
Yeah, he was here for the summer.
Okay. And when's he coming back?
December, we think, yeah.
All right. So what's the question?
I don't know. I'm really considering pursuing him.
Fine. Excellent. Mm. Good. He's wanted you for a long time. You're in.
I don't know if he's wanted me for a long time. I just
no, I bet he has.
The sex.
I it's all good.
All right. What's he doing in the Air Force?
I'm not really sure. We talked.
Nobody knows. Is there a woman alive that knows what their man does?
He's probably flying a plane of some sort, I would imagine.
Yeah, the thing that's always disappointing about the Air Force, there's one out of every 4 million enlisted guys in the Air Force actually flies the plane. The others are some sort of ground crew backup something, and it's never any fun.
Amazing fact is that even that guy's girlfriend doesn't know what he does.
They have no idea.
It could be the B-2, it could be the B-1. She has no idea.
Oh, forget about knowing which plane. Oh. Just the fact that they're monkeying with a plane would be enough. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Women just completely tune out with that stuff. But anyway, he'll drop a few bombs. He'll be back, and then you guys will get going. I'm worried that he's
not as into it as we think.
What guy is saying, look, I still have some residual feelings from my last relationship. I'd rather just be friends with you at this point.
That guy's saying that when she shuts him down.
Yeah, but I think it's more...
Mutual.
Yeah, I think it's more him. The wild sex weekend, any guy can pull that off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, those were the days. Remember those days, Drew?
Yeah.
Ann?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. First of all, I want to say hi, Seth. I love Family Guy. I love your voice. I think you're awesome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. So now I just made myself nervous. Okay.
just relax. Everything's fine.
well, I got married a couple months ago, and then a few weeks ago, I just found out that both of my in-laws have been charged with felonies. And they don't know that I know.
How'd you find out?
Huh?
How'd you find out?
I work for a company that does background checks, and some of the stuff I can access at home. So my husband was joking, like, we had some friends over, and he jokingly said, oh, do a search on my dad. And
he didn't know they were victims?
No,
he didn't know
either. Mm-mm.
What?
At the time that he was charged with it, whenever he committed the crime, my husband was finishing up high school, and he was living with some relatives. He's had a really screwed up.
All right, well, there's felons, and then there's felons.
What do you do?
Here's the thing. Well, his mom, it was grand theft, but something about statute of limitations, it was dropped. His dad's was gross sexual imposition and kidnapping. He pled guilty to the gross sexual imposition, and then the kidnapping charge was dropped, so I'm assuming it was a plea bargain.
So
it was dropped.
Yeah, it was dropped.
No,
it was just gross sexual imposition. I thought it was mail fraud or something bad.
Hold on a second.
First off, I didn't even know there was gross sexual imposition, which it has the word gross and imposition, which sounds like position. It's like you tried to do it like manatee style with a 14-year-old.
Not in our state.
Yeah,
in this state.
The imagination runs wild, by the way, when you hear about the gross sexual imposition.
Well, I kidnapping, I immediately think, hey, he picked up a hooker and was not or something.
Well, that's the whole thing about the charges. Like, sometimes they can sound worse than the crime, or it could be the other way around. Yes?
Yeah. I'm just thankful it wasn't anything against children, something like that, you know, and so...
Well, what do you think the gross sexual imposition and the kidnapping was?
That's exactly what it was. We didn't know what that would have meant. You know, we knew what it implied, so we looked it up online to see what the definition of gross sexual imposition is. Mm-hmm. And there's several, definitions. You can either, it's either having sex with somebody under the age of 13, forcing someone.
Oh, okay, so it's not just...
No, there's a lot of them.
Quiet, quiet. Quiet. Well, Leanne, say it 9 times. New record for the show, by the way.
Because I was talking. See, that was my fault.
No kidding.
That's
the point.
Okay. So sex with someone who's, you know, 15 is sex with a minor, but under 13, then it gets into the gross part. Okay.
All right. So that's one of them, yeah.
All right, keep going. Give us some other good ones.
Okay. Another one is forcing someone else to have sex with someone else.
Ooh.
Or basically drugging someone with some form of intoxicant. And
that's probably what this was.
Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Well, the guys have
either way,
names.
It's really creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy. And by the way, if I was the son, I would go from the, hey, put my dad's name in it, to projectile vomiting that actually filled the room. It's like, it's urinating on a Quaker. I'd be picturing my dad. And just, like, there's no loofah big enough to get me clean. I would just be afraid.
Think about that party, though.
My fingers would be in my ears. I'd be running out of the door.
But they were at a party.
Oh,
goes,
oh
yeah, let's have a good time. We better go home. We got to go home.
Yeah.
Oh.
Makes me wonder about my dad.
Maybe she can look him up tonight.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. Listen, I look him up. All
on.
I got to do is find a donkey napping, and that's how you know. That's what my dad is.
I could look him up, but I only have access to Riverside and Ventura in California.
Oh, okay.
Might have something out there.
All right, so.
And she's in Ohio?
Yes.
All right. I don't care. He probably. No, don't look for Seth for help. He probably doesn't
look
care
either. Sounds like you got to do a little sleuthing.
He did one of those things. I guess the one you. I don't know. I think the one you. I'm not sure which one you hope for, forcing the two people to have sex or the drugging one, the having sex with someone under 13.
Just hope it's not that one, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so what's the question for
well,
us?
The whole, okay, what it boils
down. And what happened to those charges, by the way?
He pled guilty to the gross sexual imposition, and the kidnapping charge was dropped, so I'm assuming it was a plea bargain.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, he agreed to plead, because he originally did plead not guilty.
Plea bargain, I mean, the kidnapping, you got to go roofie. I'm leaning toward roofie.
The whole thing, yeah, it seems like a drugging. And
no, but I just mean the two people to have sex, you got to get two people into the van.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway.
So what's
I would say
us?
Whatever the smoothest way to work it into the conversation at Thanksgiving is, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this guy comes from great stock.
Yeah, and it's not even his dad, it's his stepdad. So you see what I'm saying? It's just a really messed up situation.
All
and
right.
I come from a home where my parents have been married for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to deal with this.
Okay. Well, that's it's his stepdad.
Is that our question? Your question for us, how to deal with this?
Well, my question for you is, basically, it's causing a lot of problems, like the first major problem in our marriage, because he's mad at me that I don't want to go around them, but I'm really creeped out, and I told him I just need time, you know, to settle down, but he's like, oh, you know, I'll tell him to call them about something, and he'll be like, you call and ask them, and I don't even want to talk to them. I'm really nervous. Like, I'm really creeped out.
He needs you to embrace his felon stepfather? I mean, is that big an issue for him?
The way he deals with it is, oh, somebody probably made something up. And I try to explain to him that I have a little bit more faith in our judicial system than that, that they have to have some kind of evidence to bring it that far.
But here's the bottom line is your husband has affection for these people.
Yeah.
They're his parents, and that he believes they're rehabilitated in some fashion.
Right,
he wants you to
kind
of relax and try to make a family out of this. And maybe you ought to talk with them.
Oh.
Yeah,
no,
not at Thanksgiving.
Really
maybe Christmas morning.
Oh, okay, how about this? How about, he doesn't want to talk to him.
He doesn't want me to tell anybody. He doesn't want calling the show tonight, but, I mean, he doesn't want me to talk to them.
I think the only way you're
going to
feel...
Oh, then what about when the grandkids come along?
Yeah, then it's...
That's what I'm saying. I don't want my kids around them unsupervised. That creeps me out because I don't know what he did.
I haven't said this in a while, but you got to get a drifter to kill him.
I mean,
it's the only way it's to satisfactorily resolve this thing.
I really do. I would think that, yes, probably the smartest thing is not to have kids alone with this guy, but still to try to have familial sort of cohesion here. I think you need a chance to get an explanation from the guy by yourself. I mean, just talk to
him. No, Seth's right. She's going to go there for Thanksgiving. She's going to have a couple hot toddies. Her mouth's going to loosen up, and it's going to get weird.
Oh.
Super freaky weird. See, this is why I don't talk to my parents. And don't put the name in the computer. Wow. Gross, sexual, whatever. All right. Seth MacFarlane is here tonight. The Family Guy is... It's coming out soon. But we don't have a firm date.
We don't have an exact date. It's we're thinking either May or March. They haven't really locked in on a date yet.
The American Dad is coming out right after the Super Bowl, so that date that Sunday, that first Sunday, is locked in. I'm actually doing a animated show called Drawn Together. On the show.
I know that show.
Which is supposed to be very good.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a Comedy Central show.
Dave Jesser and Matt Silverstein.
Dear friends.
Very talented guys.
Saw him at your party.
Yes.
Didn't see Seth.
Yeah.
He was in a cloud of bong smoke.
Yeah.
Locked in his bedroom that's Howard Hughes.
We're in school, kids.
Wearing Kleenex boxes.
No, on his head.
That was, was, sorry about that if I haven't said that.
That's all right.
Yet.
Listen, I ate my weight in those cocktail weenies.
Oh, terrific.
Had a few highballs.
As long as you had a good time.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of calls for Seth coming up.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Herta and somebody else is coming in here tomorrow night from the IndyCar circuit. So we'll talk to them about that. Seth MacFarlane, who's quickly becoming he's taking on cult hero status.
I'm not going to be able to get him on the show anymore.
No, this is
I'll always make time for you fellas, always.
He made it pretty clear, not through words, but through body language during the last commercial. No, at the commercial.
The commercial, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, body. No, I didn't see him at the party.
Oh, that's right. Well, there you go.
Again, it was even if I was in the same room with him, I wouldn't know. The smoke was so thick.
It was a good one.
People were getting drunk, though, at the party, running into a bunch of cartoon nerds. It was awesome. I got to, hypothetically put in, 9 sitcoms just from standing by Seth's pool for 20 minutes. You want to ask me how any of them worked out, by the way? But, everyone's a fan. Huge fan. Big fan.
That's great.
Big fan.
Unacceptable.
Yes, that's great.
Seth is here talking not only about the Family Guy, but American Dad, which is after the Super Bowl on... Didn't the Family Guy open after the Super
Bowl?
It did.
This is kind of a repeat of... what happened with Family Guy, you know? And if we're lucky, we'll have the same kind of luck.
Yeah, but you'll sort of do it in such a way where you don't go away.
Yeah,
go away first.
Hopefully there'll be no
back.
Cancellation during the... But yeah, American Dad is a show that I co-created with two writers, Mike Barker and Matt Weitzman, who have written on Family Guy since day one and we've got this American Dad, which is essentially Family Guy meets All in the Family. It's a lot more political. It's designed for, Bush era.
You know what's going to be nice is when they try to cancel American Dad and you give them the, you sure, fellas? Because remember last time that happened, you may want to think
I
about
won't even
that.
Flinch just, this time.
No, I think it's good because I think if I don't care if the ratings are in the tank and you're in the eighth season, they're going to be scared to pull the plug because
let's hope
Seth MacFarlane springs back to life like a phoenix from the ashes. Drew.
The only trouble we could have, it's kind of a left wing skewing show, which hopefully will.
So who do who does the show want to get in, Bush or Kerry?
We kind of figure. If Bush wins, mm-hmm. it I suppose creatively makes the show work a little better on some level. If Bush loses, the country wins. So
right. So you have a bit of a foil. I mean, it's just better.
Yeah,
it's better comedy.
It's better comedy. Yeah, Meathead from All in the Family.
I've just lost all subtlety with that.
Complain about Nixon. Yeah.
Please don't vote for that man. Please.
Yeah, but all right.
Okay,
I want to get political, but
I
wish it seems like I wish there were better choices all the way around. I would love to be more in love with Kerry, who definitely thinks a smarter guy than Bush. Although Engineer Chris is quite a bit smarter, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean you're smarter than the President of the United States, so wipe the puss off. But I'm not impressed with Kerry. I wish there was someone who was. I wish there was someone who I just really liked. Like a little more dynamic, who you went, wow, this guy's sharp, or he's on the ball, or something.
Well, that was Howard Dean before he blew it.
Yeah, before he went nuts.
Yeah.
All right, let me say this. Speaking of politics, we forgot about this story last time Seth was in here, or maybe it didn't happen yet, that whole 9/11 thing, which I'm sure you're have spoken about many, many times, but we haven't heard it. Tell us the story.
Well, I was I missed Flight 11, which was the first flight to hit the World Trade Center by about 10 minutes, and I was in Rhode Island giving a lecture at my old college, and it was a combination of a number of things. My travel agent had written, I guess, 8:15, and the flight left at 7:45 in the morning, so that set me back a little bit. Plus, I was going a little overboard on the scotch the night before.
Sure, and, you got a problem.
I can admit it.
Yeah, I'll speak.
Yeah.
And so you were late for the airport. And what time? So did the flight leave on time? Did it leave at 7:45?
I believe left on time, and I got there at about 7:30, and I got to the desk and they said, you know, they just closed the gates, you're too late. And I was so fried and exhausted that I just figured, you know, I'll just sleep and wait for the next one. And, you know, I was asleep and I heard some commotion in the next room and I went in, there was a TV on and the first plane had hit and they announced the...
Where were you sleeping?
Were you in the airport?
I was in the lounge.
Just sleeping in the lounge.
Yeah.
And no one walked by and went, hey, that's Stewie?
not at the time.
Okay.
No,
all right. I would have done that. All right. So you just now, sleeping in the lounge. And now were you arguing with the person? I mean, like I throw fits at I demand to be let on this plane.
I didn't. And I I've only done that a couple times. I'm kind of non-confrontational. Like I'm usually relaxed enough that fine, whatever, I'll take the next flight. But it's, I just kind of said, fine, I'll take the 11 o'clock waited.
You woke up and you went in to watch this TV. Did you realize that was the flight?
No, not until about 15 minutes later. And they announced the flight. And I turned the guy next to me and said, my God, that was the flight I was supposed to be on.
How did
that
feel?
It was surreal and you know, this sounds horrible, but I mean, it was relief, you know, at first, and which is, you know...
Yeah. But well, no, you got it. I mean, that
was there elation, like, yeah, I got to call my family and tell them I love them kind of thing? It's like,
well,
oh,
yeah,
God.
You know, it was interesting because I called my parents and I called... I had left my assistant at the time a message before I got on the plane saying I'm not... I missed the first flight. I'm taking the later one, which they didn't get, I guess, until after the fact.
Oh, wow.
About 20 minutes later. So it was about a half hour or so that they, because they had my flight information at the office.
Oh,
and
my
they
God.
Thought I was on the plane. And, you know, so it was, you know, I ended up just driving back across country.
Driving from Rhode Island?
From
Boston.
From Rhode Island.
And driving to California.
Yeah. With two friends of mine that were also stuck in the area.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must have just been a surreal crossing of the nation.
In the shadow of everything that had happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, it didn't really, in a lot of ways it really hasn't sunk in. You know, I never really had that moment where I kind of freaked out and where it just hit me and I, you know, who knows, maybe
does it
somewhere
have
down
to,
the line.
Drew?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Well, please don't do it tonight, by the way. I mean, you've made
No,
you just, don't. You don't have to
get weird in here.
Because there's no experience of brushing with death with this.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a factoid, you know.
Yeah.
In a way, it's sort of like your mom telling you she almost lost you in the second trimester or something.
Exactly.
It's like,
you know,
what are you going to do?
It's amazing. It's a great story, but you don't experience it the way you would have. You know, you're reading it from a clip or something.
Right.
Yeah, you need to do that.
Take a rock.
I really need to
have the bungee cord break or do something that really
to really get a sense of it. Put me in the moment.
This was a decent try, but this is more hypothetical than it really was.
I don't even like to take the freeway.
Staring death in the face. And speaking of death, just close your eyes and listen.
Here we go. That's a wonderful segue.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
How could you forget? Come on, buddy. Surely it's got to be hooded man in a sickle.
I hear Norm McDonald. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No, please.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're
He's a lush.
We're very happy with Adam.
Yeah,
we're very happy with our current.
Because I'm easy. Yes. Look, let's face it. I'm not as talented as McDonald, but I'm easy.
Oh, stop. That's just absolutely not true at all.
I do my thing.
Let's take a Seth call. Come on, here we go.
I just, I'm not over the Flight 11 thing.
I know.
Thing. It's incredible.
It makes you philosophical is what it makes you. It's like, hey, it's just not your, you know.
I know. It's fortunate that I am not the least bit religious because I probably, you know, probably would have
become a monk or something.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't be able to write comedy anymore. But.
Right.
Hey, guys.
Wow. Yeah.
Was he the only one that missed the flight?
I think there were, I remember reading about a few others that had also missed the flight, but I don't.
Because if you're the only one, then you'd be like the chosen one.
Yeah.
Say, Anderson, ask that question again when you're not high.
Yeah,
I don't smoke weed. I'm not high.
All right. Well, mushrooms, whatever you're on this particular Tuesday. All right. Let's.
Anderson is Brian, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he really is like Brian. What do you mean, Anderson? He's
stocky, he's antisocial, but lovable, and an alcoholic.
Lovable lush.
The drinks. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Let's take a quick question for Seth. Clint?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Clint.
Seth, I got to say it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you. Big fan since day one, and just want to say when I found out that Family Guy was coming back on, I nearly crapped my pants. So my question for you is...
That's great.
On the DVDs, the special effects on them where it says that, you know, shows you doing the double voices like, you know, Brian and I think Peter at the same time. I just want to know, what's your favorite voice to do and your favorite character and why?
Well, probably the easiest one is Quagmire.
The easiest one?
Yeah, because there's really not, I mean, it's not like, the character like Brian, there's, you know, I guess there's a little more acting involved, but Quagmire is just, it's kind of a breeze because he's kind of one note. He's just the sex guy, and it's,
oh yeah.
You know, there's not really a whole lot of,
do a little giggity giggity
giggity giggity giggity goo.
There you go. It's there's no intense Stanislavski in preparation that goes into Quagmire, unlike the others.
So on the DVD, they see you doing the voices in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some video footage on there.
There's you mean like Stewie can be talking to Brian, and will you record that in real time?
When we do our table reads, when we read the script for the network, I have to jump back and forth from voice to voice because we do it in real time. But when I record, I generally, you know, we'll do a few takes of Stewie, then a few takes of Brian. It's easier to do it that
right.
way.
One of the greatest Brian Stewie exchanges when they get high.
Yeah, when they're in the Amsterdam pot bar.
I love the Fantastic Voyage
episode,
where Stewie goes in into the sack to try to destroy the killer sperm.
Yes.
A lot of CGI in that episode.
If you grew up when we did, that is transforming. You know, it's like, whoa.
Yes. Horse-drawn buggies and gas lights. It was a different era.
I never saw that on Bullwinkle.
I'm sorry, Seth, but now you have to do a little back-to-back. Yeah, I mean, you just do. It's bad radio otherwise. I could get fired.
No, forgot. I mean, you know, I'll try and switch midline.
All right.
All right, tell you, Adam, what am I?
Some kind of barking seal.
There you go. Peter to Stewie, right there.
Wow. Mid-syllable. All right, we're going to take a little break. Seth MacFarlane is in studio tonight.
Seth Green has worked nonstop since he began in the business.
I made Seth Green read his bio.
As Chris.
That's great.
It's precious. It really is. It's
big, God bless the man.
The guy got started when he was a zygote, so it took him like 3 hours to just get to the teenage years.
He was in Radio Days, one of my favorite movies, and I can't really enjoy it anymore because now all I can see is Seth Green.
Yeah, he was a young Woody Allen in Radio Days.
Is that right?
Yeah. One of the more underrated, or I shouldn't say underrated, but sort of cast aside Woody Allen.
Oh,
efforts.
Yeah.
Is that great movie? Grows up under the roller coaster?
Yeah. Coney Island. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth MacFarlane in the studio tonight. A lot of guys, no chicks, but a lot of guys waiting out front for Seth's autograph.
That's animation for you.
He's great. Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm sure, you know, high school is a nice farm league for that. And stepped right into animation. Because you're way too talented to have gotten laid in high school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right on the
you
money.
You still may be
You're right on the money.
You're that talented.
a little bitterness.
My high school, there was nothing going on.
You are right, Aaron.
Now it's payback time.
Petrified Forest. It is payback time.
Yeah, he finishes in the hair, he told me.
It really is much easier now.
Oh, my God, yes. They're like, you just drop the Stewie voice and pow, underpants just
back in the hair.
Come flying off. Snap.
Who wants some of what I've got to offer, ladies?
That's right.
And there we go. That's,
there it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something. You can always give one of these ladies throw them a little voiceover bone. You know what I mean? Oh. No prompt. I mean, you know what I'm saying. But you can put anyone
and
you want.
And cut it out. Then drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not use it.
You can put them in. Not the guy who's been championing the show
that,
for
I don't know
years.
That has the same effect. I mean, it's not like, you know, honey, you want to be in the cartoon pictures?
Yeah,
I can get you there. No, it's not the same.
Yeah, and probably half the chicks in this town think the dog is actually employed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
I think there's a good chance of that. If you're hot and you're 21 and you're in this town, you think Stewie.
Oh yeah, and Brian's
Brian.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little talk to Nikki over here. Is 25?
Uh-oh.
Nikki, what's up? Did we talk to you before?
I'm like, no, put me back on hold.
What's up? It says here you're an escort.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they also told us during the break to get to Nikki because she has to go to work.
Oh, my God. You guys are bad.
That's the instruction.
That's an admirable job ethic you've got.
Yeah.
Do what?
All right. Listen, Scatterbrain. What's up? What's your question?
My question is, why is it that you guys, well, I wouldn't say you guys, but a lot of the callers stereotype, you know, if a guy gets laid by, like, 50 girls, he's all that in a bag of Doritos, but yet if a girl sleeps with one or two guys, she's a big fat whore.
A stinking whore.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
no, it's not one or two guys, by the way.
Yeah.
And you're taking money for sex. That's
right.
different thing.
Right.
It's a very different
thing. Why not, right?
Well, there are reasons why you shouldn't do that.
It's illegal.
Yeah, but
it's illegal.
Well, let's forget about the law. It's just work on how it affects
the human part.
Yeah,
it takes the human interaction completely out of the equation.
Right.
Well, what do you do? So you're an escort.
Right.
How much for intercourse, by the way?
It's 200 and tips.
200. That's a good deal.
200 and plus you give a tip. What kind of tip? 15-20%. And on parties larger than six, do you actually just add a 15% gratuity?
No.
My Uncle Jerry can get you the same vagina for $150.
Not the same.
Right, no.
Not the same.
They only make the money on the tips because, you know, the guy owns the shop.
So. All right. So, and what about oral sex?
I always cover it up.
No, but how much?
It's part of the deal.
Oh, yeah, but what if I just want oral?
It's same thing.
And you have some sort of 69 discount? It seems like you would, like the low self-esteem special. Yeah.
No.
Bury your face where a guy
free
just
tickets
was.
To Six Flags.
Yeah, it should be something. Well, that's why I love that show, Hookers on the Brink, Drew.
To hear the haggling?
I just it's the black guy in the dented up SUV, and he's a chick gets in a car. You ever see that show? I think it's on HBO or Showtime.
I think it's HBO.
It's just awesome because I swear they hook her. They just have the hookers mic'd up so the camera's like way in the back of the car so the guys are anonymous. But it's like chick comes in. It's like, yeah, you fine, baby. How much for BJ? And she's like, $12. And she's, woo, baby, I ain't one of the Rockefellers. You got to do me better than that. So, and I'm yelling at the TV set. Like, oh, come on, really, 15 bucks for intercourse, a 20 for anal? 22, you get to have anal and kill her, and you're haggling? You give that to the guy who drops you off at the airport, right?
If this were 1876.
Yeah, right. All right, now where was she?
Two.
Okay. Nikki.
Yeah.
How many guys would you be with on a, let's say, good week?
A good week? Probably 15.
15.
And there's a couple things, Nikki, that people that engage in the jobs that you throw
3 grand.
Pursue, yeah. Essentially always have a trauma history. And so if people kind of know that and sense that. The other thing is you made an issue about the double standard. It turns out the double standard for men and women, not sustained by men. Men make note of the double standard, and then they're over it immediately. They'll go out with you, they'll whatever.
Yeah.
The women perpetuate double standards.
Ooh.
It's when you right. when it's actually studies other women that go to men and say, don't date her, she's a hoe, you can't say her.
Yeah.
See, but I don't know how many of my friends, I've jokingly been like, okay, so would you do a blowjob for like $5,000? And all of them would step up to it.
They would.
For $5,000.
Yeah. Or even $1,000.
Yeah, but you hang out with people that are, you know, addicted to methamphetamine and, you know.
No.
You're not doing it for that. You're doing it for
$200. Okay. What?
Okay, well, listen, yeah, you're giving quite a considerable discount.
And you're doing it regularly.
Okay, so are you just calling to try to make yourself feel better or what's up?
No, that's not it at all. I like my job. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it.
All right, listen, okay, let me tell you something about this. Hookers talking about what's wrong, you know, you pay a guy at the car wash, he gets down on his knees and scrubs your white walls. Why isn't that problem? It's the same vibe, it's the same loudmouth crap I get from fat chicks trying to explain to me how hot they are. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sexy, I'm a ton of fun, more cushion for you. Yeah, okay, I'm going to vomit, get the hell out of here. And please take the ski pants off, or put something over them. Put a tablecloth over yourself.
No one's happier than my heroin addicts when the heroin's working for them.
Right, I'm just saying,
they wouldn't do heroin if it didn't work for them.
All
yeah,
I'm saying is you can have all the rap you want about sleeping with 30 guys a week and how you're proud and it's fine and you're good with it. First off, if you're fine with it, you wouldn't be calling the show trying to convince us you're fine with it.
It will be not fine someday, and that day will come. It's like any other form of addiction or compulsion, you'll see.
All right, Seth MacFarlane in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth MacFarlane is in studio tonight. Seth, of course, you know from The Family Guy, and is really taking on. You know, let me just say this about Seth. Here's what you want in this business, Drew.
Huh.
You want you want respect. Seth has that, and you want to be recognized, but by the right people, not bugged at the supermarket. But have people take your phone calls and things like that when you're putting them in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seth has a very nice balance, very very hip. People who know or in the know him, and he can do his shopping in relative anonymity. Yeah.
You know, it's my favorite medium for that reason. Is you know, I will be in a bar or a restaurant, and this happened many times where I'll overhear someone talking about the show, which is much more rewarding than getting approached.
Yeah, that is nice. And before we were on, I can remember seeing in bars, and we're just on the radio and having people go, "Loveline sucks," and I'd go, "Yeah," and I'd join in with a mousy voice, though, so they wouldn't recognize the group. But yeah, so and does anyone ever recognize your voice as your voice, because you don't really do your voice?
Brian,
yeah,
Brian, no, that's
is,
that that's never Brian's happened.
A little
I mean,
bit.
Brian's your voice, right?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, I've been recognized for, you know, maybe like once every few weeks or so these days, somebody will recognize my face. But again, fortunately with this medium, it's
right.
You know, no one sees you. So it's, you kind of,
do you like that? I mean,
I do. I have no desire to be, you know,
right. Get laid.
Yeah. No desire at all. Like,
without having to do the stupid voice first.
Yeah. I think the price would be too high. I would be,
that's what Drew thought. That's
scared
why
to death.
5 years ago he got out of TV.
Back to radio. Or much better.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Drew. Then it's keep the guy it, at McDonald's recognizing.
Keeping it real. Yeah. And then you don't have to walk around all day and go, "Hey, man, show. What about me? I got two partners.
Where's Jimmy?
Where's the doctor?" It says, "Where's the," here's what I got all day. Where's the doctor? Where are the juggies? That's why all day. Where's the, everyone. My wife will do that. I'll get out of the shower.
She
hey, man, show. Where are the juggies? Baby, I wish I knew. Aaron?
She's a fan.
Yeah. Aaron, you're 21.
Yes.
You got a question for Seth?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize I was on. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Aaron.
I was wondering if you're married.
I am not married, no.
He's married.
Despite what it says on my internet bio, no, I'm not married.
He's married to his work.
What's that?
Will you marry me?
Not now.
Yeah, I'm a pretty pretty far off from that at the moment, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay, but I love you. I'm serious. I love you.
Well, that
I
makes two of us, Aaron.
Hold on 1 second. Let me just explain something.
Poor Aaron is listen.
Just quiet down, Drew.
Declaring her love for this man.
I understand, but
let the girl talk, for God's sake.
People do. They go, oh, you don't understand. I love you. That's not going to make Seth.
It's funny because we were just talking about this kind of thing.
And let me explain something. That window has closed and been painted shut. You should have got to Seth right after he got canned off of Fox.
No, high school.
Originally.
High school.
Oh, high school. Done deal.
Yeah.
Done deal.
I really hope everybody who kicked my ass in high school heard what you just said.
Yeah, no, that'd be
just awesome.
It's payback time.
Yeah.
It's flogging time. And not with the hand.
But is that interesting?
Do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Not with the hand.
But this is flogging. This is with the cat of nine tails. This is that interesting thinking where if people, you know, you don't understand. I love you. Therefore,
right.
You must love me back.
Right.
Which
right.
is a funny thinking people have.
Aaron, why do you? Let me first off see if you're suitable for Seth. Why do you love Seth so much?
Because he is the funniest man on earth. Mm-hmm. He is so funny. And I don't just love him because he does Family Guy.
Okay, what's your favorite Family Guy episode?
Too Sexy for a Fat.
Okay. All right.
Good one.
She's a fan.
Which one is that?
That's
where Peter gets liposuction.
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
The entire episode, every minute, there's another joke. Like, I love Family Guy. I watch it really every day because there's nothing on TV. So you're doing your homework, I hope.
There's nothing.
I do my homework.
All right, good.
All right. Are you attractive, Aaron?
I think I am.
Uh-oh.
I'm like 5'3". I have blonde hair, blue eyes, about 110.
Petite. All right.
Do I love you because you're Stewie's voice?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right,
wait a minute, let me place that. That's Rodgers and Hammerstein, Cinderella, 1952, right?
Yeah. That's why you're late in high school, everybody.
That's what attracts the ladies right there.
Another
extensive knowledge of old-time showbiz.
Another question for Seth. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Capri?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hello, Seth.
Hi, Capri.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm so happy I got through. First of all, I just have to say that I love your work, and I think you are just extremely talented and also very sexy. I just have to add that.
Oh, come on.
Honestly.
What's happening
just
here?
Just note the difference between men and women here. Just take it in.
Sexy?
Yeah, but
really,
have you ever seen Seth?
Yes, I have. Many different photos.
Good. Hold on a second.
What the hell?
How dare you, Drew?
No, because sometimes... I don't mean that against... Because
have
sometimes
you ever
Was I wearing my glasses or not?
Because sometimes the women will say that based on just hearing things,
right,
watching
right,
your work,
right.
and stuff like that. So that's what
she knows he's sexy.
All right, that's fine.
Seth
is just doing wonders for my ego being here tonight, really. Just magnificent.
Have you seen Seth?
Shut up.
If he got in that plane, he'd look better. Oh, please, Drew. Who said that?
That is not.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Yes, that's it. That's what I meant.
No, Seth is
girls,
hot.
Girls, you're both pretty.
Seth is hot in it. I'll tell you what makes Seth hot. He's a dude. And chicks don't care that much. That's number one.
How dare you?
He's rich and he's not fat.
And he's funny.
It's really all it takes.
That's what makes Seth hot. All right. And there's a sort of boyish charm to him. He's cute. I got to say that.
He's
Capri?
Gorgeous.
Bless you all.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you're into Seth.
Yes, very much. Mm-hmm. And I also have a question. I heard about the live action shows that you did in Canada.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you have planned any yet to do in the States.
A little burlesque show we did up there.
Oh, my God.
No, it was a...
Ice Capade, like Brian and Stewie.
It was a live, actually a live on-stage reading that we all did of a Family Guy episode.
Really?
And, it was at the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Oh, I see.
And it's great. It was the first time we've done anything like that. And it was just great to kind of... get a first-hand response, you know, just reading through a script. And
a script that you eventually put on film? Or
it was one, it was the Weinstein episode,
When You Wish Upon a Weinstein.
Yeah, which was the unaired episode. But we'd love to do that again. I mean, they're talking about maybe doing something down here in the States, but, you know, it's just a matter of scheduling because we're all so busy.
I think you get the big H.R. Puffin stuff, characters. You know, huge, stewy heads.
There has been discussion of a Broadway musical, believe it or not.
Really?
That we've been approached. And
we're
trying to figure out how you do that.
The King and I.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Alien.
Well, how do you
illustrate
Stewie?
It?
How you do Brian? You know, how do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Disney managed to figure that out.
Disney does kind of figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, will the big birthday costumes do it? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, Stewie might.
But
be,
we'll try. Damn it,
tough. I'll tell you that midget's going to lose 10 pounds if I sweat in the first act. Believe you me.
Yeah, we would like to do it down here, and we may in fact do it at some point.
So it's essentially like a live table read.
Basically, yeah. I mean, this was a you know, we did a live reading of the show. We showed the presentation for American Dad. We did a song from the album. So it's just kind of a little mini variety show that we did up there. And it seemed to go over pretty well.
So this was last year.
This was a few months ago. Yeah.
Last one they had.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. She's an actress. Tries to date another actor.
Line six. If you're taking
line six. All right. Candace.
Yes.
21?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Huh?
What's going on?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
All right. What's going on?
My problem is when I have, like, rigorous sex with my boyfriend, my inner, like, vaginal lips, like, the left one only, will swell.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Vaginal stroke.
Well, no, this is a future viewer of American Dad. She...
She's a leftist. That's how you can tell.
She's a leftist.
That's a good sign.
Candace, here's the deal. First of all, does that surprise you that when you sort of
get pounded on like a cutlet for 4 hours,
you work on a part of your body, it gets irritated? That's just the way it goes.
But why the asymmetry and the irritation?
It may have just to do with her anatomy or his, number one. Or number two, his maybe curves in some way or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he does?
Yeah.
He curves.
Does he curve toward the side of you that's swelling?
He curved the other way, probably.
No, he, like, it's kind of odd to say. It's somewhat like a banana, like, upward.
Oh, upward.
Yeah. All right.
But that means he's in love, by the way.
Huh?
All right. Look, does anyone have a sense of humor on this show?
Are you kidding?
Okay, go ahead, Drew.
But, Candace, so obviously, you know, your anatomy can predispose to this sort of thing. You might want to have a doctor look at that swollen lip when it's swollen just to make sure it's not a herpetic outbreak, something like that, because that can happen. Herpes will recur in the same place and recur at the site of irritation.
But how long does it stay swollen?
Good question.
Candace, how long is it swollen for after the vigorous sex?
It depends. If it doesn't swell bad, it can go down in a few hours. I've had it stay for a whole day.
All right, then that's just irritation. That's just... Take it easy.
All right. Okay. Use some lube and slow it down a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the only way I can orgasm is from, like, pretty, like, not rough, but just, like...
Prolonged?
Huh?
Okay.
Well, good times then.
I don't know. Just get a thesaurus and call back in 20 years. I can't talk to her. She's watching something or talking to someone.
She's asleep, I think.
I think she's actually bringing a like an F-14 down onto the deck of a carrier at night in rough seas. Like that's most
the orange glow sticks there.
Yeah, semaphore. Yeah. She's telling them about bank, and that's
an important job.
Yeah, she was on hold for 91 minutes. I'll give her a break. But look, here's the thing. You've made it through. You want to hear the answer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take a question for Seth. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 22. What's up?
I've got two questions for Seth, actually. One is, can he please describe Lois and Peter's sex life behind the scenes?
You know, Peter and Lois have a pretty good sex life, we've established. There's you know, occasional dead spots where we
Well, Lois is kind of hot.
She is. She is. Yeah. He did pretty well for himself.
Always mysterious, but she seems to be into it.
Yeah, they're. We've kept them pretty active actually, because it's you know, there are so many shows where, you know, you get the husband and wife
show.
You know, hate, you know, are not attracted to each other, and they, you know, it's right. we kind of think it works for the two of them. It's kind of nice that they both are. You know, it's kind of easier for him than for her, I would imagine, but...
right. Yeah. because
yeah, I thought the last question was a nice segue for the safety word is banana episode.
Yeah, that's really a perfect example.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to try new things.
Yeah. Is there anything that the Loveline listeners can learn from their sex life?
Oh, God.
Well, Sarah's going with this theme. She's taking it all the way.
Seth, you don't have to dignify that with an answer, by the way. At least a bizarre hypothetical questions about cartoons and lives outside of the episodes that they actually
Just visualize the pale-skinned men drawing these sexual pictures in enclosed rooms with fluorescent lighting. Maybe... puts a new perspective.
They're very careful
it.
To maintain the boundaries in their house. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, they never do anything in front of Stewie.
Mm.
And they always, you know.
I think he may have walked in on something before.
And he gets disgusted, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew. My boyfriend and I have tried to have sex a few times, and it just doesn't really seem to be working because I'm small. And, like, I'm not really a small person, but I don't really know what the problem is because I've had sex before. And, like, I mean, I've had problems having it with guys that are, like, bigger, but, like, I don't really know exactly.
Are you nervous about this guy for some reason?
No, like, I don't know. It's happened with other guys, too, and I don't.
You're just that part of your anatomy small?
Yeah.
Like I don't think that it's small. I think that it kind of closes down.
Really?
It has like,
it can be
I'm
small.
I'm nervous, but, I mean, it's worked with, like, guys before. And
right. So sometimes it seems like it's not small, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because other times it's sort of clamping down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
Have you tried hanging from a chin-up bar?
No. No, I actually haven't.
You gotta do that.
Zero gravity chair?
Mm.
Like one of those swings or...
So wait a minute. So Jessica, you're saying your part is small down there, but now you're saying that you have sex with other guys in the past and it didn't seem small.
And she even said with guys with larger penises and it didn't seem small.
Really?
It's obviously been smaller. Like with him it like it just has not worked at all. Like I mean barely.
Hold on a second. Oh, we have to cut the pot supply coming in from Mexico into this country. The people are now at the point. You know, it just cannot form thoughts anymore. Forget about sentences. Yeah. All right, so we're trying to figure out. Now, here's the problem, Drew. Here's your problem.
Yeah.
You pick a direction and you go with it, and you'll just make it work.
Some of the reason is to avoid the frustration of dealing with the...
All right, but let Vanna flip over the letters before you start guessing the puzzle. Jessica.
Yeah.
Do you or do you not have a small vagina in your estimation?
In my estimation, I believe I do, like abnormally small.
Okay, so that
my question then. Yes. No. Why, with some guys, does it not seem to be small?
Well, obviously, they're. Well, I don't know. I mean, he's like 8 inches, and that's bigger than like any guy that I've been with. So
it's. Yeah, it's like, look, a size 8 shoe is not small until a size 14 foot tries to go into it. But if a size 6 tries to go into it, it's not.
So there's an anatomical. Why didn't you just say he's too big for me?
Well, but, like, I mean, I've been with guys. They're not, like, tiny. And it just, like, takes a little tweaking and then it will work. But, like.
See, this is what she said before.
It's tweaking.
Yeah.
It falls apart in Act 3, but.
Yeah, you get
but it's not impossible because those parts are supposed to fit together, you know? Like,
yeah, there are people that don't fit together, though, Jessica. Some people just don't fit together. And we actually get more complaints about size disproportion than where the guy's too big than where the guy's too small. That's more of a problem, more of a deal breaker.
I have that problem. I've had that problem with ladies.
Yeah, and the deal is if you can relax,
that's
use lube.
Why, that's when, then I hear the, are you in?
Yeah.
And that's when it's time to swallow the bottle of sleeping pills. Are you in? And you're finished. You know what I'm saying?
Are you done?
Okay. So, all right. So Jessica has a small vagina compared to this guy's novelty-sized door.
Exactly.
But compared to a normal-sized penis.
This problem is very Sesame Street.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
It really is.
I'm trying to think of what the Sesame Street song that applies to this.
Jessica, you can't do the vaginal math.
The what?
All right. Look, he's big, so it seems small.
Get yourself a protractor.
Some of these things are bigger than others. Some of these things are... Right?
Oh, we apologize. And then the Indian head just comes up. Yeah, all right. She's small, he's big. Fantastic. All right.
What is that? What is that Indian head? And what does it have to do with...
What are all the patterns
around? What does it have to do with television?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. There was a time, by the way. See, now, you kids don't remember.
Yeah, you just made a reference that nobody under...
I know. You kids don't remember when stations would sign off.
The four stations that broadcasted.
Would sign off.
At 2A.
And by the way, never more depressed than actually watching it sign off.
Yeah, and they do so by showing you fighter jets going across the sky, an American flag.
Star-spangled
banner. I reached out and touched the face of God. You're like stoned and it's 3:30 in the morning. You're like, I got to kill myself. Yeah,
isn't there a Marx Brothers film on somewhere?
Got to be something on. Maybe I'll just stare at a pack of matches and move. Yeah, you'd be so depressed. it's a horrible realization when TV is ready to go to bed and you're not.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You want company.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Company's leaving.
Here's the thing, everybody. Things used to stop at a certain time. Like 7-Eleven was open from 7 until 11. And if you wanted a Sixer or Mickey's at 1 a.m., you weren't getting it unless you thought to buy it before 11. And things closed on Sundays, and Indian heads popped up at the 2 a.m., and guys touched the face of God.
It was a strange black and white pattern.
It was
with an Indian in profile with a huge feather dress on.
You know what it was? In life, there used to be the equivalent to the guy flicking the lights on and off at the bar going, all right, yeah. Last call. Let's pack it in and take
and
it out
why
of
the
here.
Boop? Why that?
That was to get you to shut the TV and go to bed. That was to I think that was to wake you up.
Right, to get you to turn the TV
annoying,
off.
The annoying buzz, I think, was so you would pop. That would always pull you up off the sofa. And it's depressing. So depressing, especially the weird kind of religious thing with the blue angels doing the tight formation, a guy talking about touching the face of God. And the Indian test pattern, I think the way it had all these multicolor circles around it, I think
but
that was
colors,
so the guys
black
could,
and white.
Well, so, then it turned
some
color.
Kind of test the reception kind of thing.
Yeah,
for that.
It was like you could white balance your camera.
It had like
or
railroad
something.
Signs on the
yeah,
corner.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone's got to get to the bottom of this. And look, I would pay $100 for a DVD that had the touch of fate.
That's the airtime that the Native Americans have managed to hold on to.
Yeah, even that was played by Jew. By the way, that anything. They put the brown makeup on him and they put him in a headdress. It was a Jew. I know that for a fact. All right. Seth MacFarlane in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Seth MacFarlane in studio tonight. Family Guy, of course. And Seth's got a new show just coming out called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. What the hell is it called?
American Dad.
American Dad.
Yeah, just keep watching the Super Bowl. Wait, is Super Bowl on Fox this year?
I guess it must be if they're premiering it after. That makes sense, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox has the Super Bowl.
It's don't get used to that lead-in, by the way, because the following week, it's like a rerun of the Parkers.
Yeah.
It's going to...
It doesn't always work out. Like, the shows that succeed, that premiere after the Super Bowl, are actually the exception of the rule. So, I you know...
Is it? Well,
The Wonder Years, I think, was the...
Exception?
That was the big one.
Yeah. And, again, The Family Guy, I remember Seth saying that premiered after the Super Bowl 2000?
99? Yeah, I think.
Well, it must have been early 99 because the Super Bowl would have been very early January.
99.
Okay. Or now beginning of February. It keeps moving back, by the way. All right. Another question for Seth over here. Mark?
Yes.
You're 25. What's up?
How you doing? Seth, I wanted to... Two quick questions. I wanted to ask you, what is your personal favorite episode and
Death
why?
Death Lives.
Boy, that's, you know, I always have trouble answering that question.
Hold on, don't answer. Drew, write your personal...
I don't know the names of them, though. I know that.
Well, describe it enough so that we can sort of verify it. I'm not going to look.
Okay.
Ever.
Go ahead, yours.
I'm never going to look that way again. And then, well, let's see. I'm going to...
mind real quick while you guys are writing.
No, here's...
Well, it'd be better if I did. I'm going to write the... okay, I already said mine. It's the voyage. Yeah. It's the fantastic voyage Stewie kills the sperm. What's yours, Mark?
Da Boom, probably.
Which interesting. Which one? The most dated of all of our. It's the Y2K episode. Remember Y2K? Yeah.
Right. Remember that.
The chicken fight is just classic, man. You can't. How can you?
Well, I got news for you. That chicken's not. That chicken may not be dead.
Yeah, you fought the chicken out front of the store. I mean, he tried to hand you a leaflet or something, and it went all over onto the train.
It's possible he may not be dead, and
he may show up again.
Yeah, he may be back for vengeance.
Yeah, that was the Y2K one. Yeah.
So anyway, yours, Seth? Sorry.
You know, probably if I had to pick one that's just kind of us at our best, would probably be Road to Rhode Island.
Which one is that?
That's the first Brian Stewie Road Show, because it was sort of the first show where we really...
Which one is that where they find...
It's where they go across the country to find Brian's mother, and it was really sort of the first use of... was that yours?
It says...
Look at that.
First, it says I'm gay. I don't know why we need to write a sexual revelation in there, and then it says...
Finding Brian's mom.
Look at that.
Wait, that was
that's
amazing.
Extraordinary.
Amazing you were able to read that from here.
Yeah.
You piss ass. Wow, true.
Yeah.
Written in like a true doctor, by the way. No one could figure it out. Wow. Now, is that the one where they do the Hope and
that's the one, yeah.
Crosby song?
Yeah, that's the one. It was sort of the first time we really kind of got a handle on that Brian Stewie relationship that could carry an episode.
Their scenes together are so great. They're just so great.
Brian's mom turned out to be stuffed, right?
Yes.
As I recall.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. It sort of starts like Babe with a mom. He's being taken away.
Yeah.
From the puppy mill,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mark, thanks for kissing ass.
One more thing? No?
Yeah.
Sorry. Some of the jokes are so absurd. When you watch them, I'm wondering how difficult it is to write them. I'll give you an example. Peter's little excited wiggle after he says the Luke Perry thing where he goes, which is probably my favorite joke out of all the episodes ever.
You mean where he was trying to make Luke Perry gay?
Yeah, where he does his little excited wiggle. I can't tell you how many times I rewound that when I first saw it.
That was just one of those, like the evil monkey, that was just one of those examples of one of the writers in the room, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was, did that and said, don't know why it's funny, is there some way we can animate that? So we kind of acted it out for the artists, and they put it up on screen. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of a stupid little gesture that he does.
Yeah, it's not a reference to anything, right? All right. I'll tell you, people are dedicated followers of the show.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there are things that I don't remember. I have to be reminded.
Oh, no. There's always a nerd out there who knows your work better than you.
Yeah.
We'll go to the phones and talk to Lindsay, who's 20. Lindsay?
Hi.
What's up, baby doll?
I just had a question. Like, I used to have a really high sex drive. Like, mm-hmm. I used to have sex, like, 3 or 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. And my doctor put me on an antidepressant. And when she put me on that, it, like, made my sex drive, like, cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped taking it, and it's still, I very rarely have the interest in having sex. Mm. And I don't know if it's because, like, my boyfriend has a really high sex drive, and it just doesn't interest me as much, or if it's something that the medication did.
It's a very interesting question.
She needs her pump primed, Drew,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to get some work done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Seth in high school.
How,
except for the tears were smearing the ink on
the page. I have no idea. It was a dismal, dismal time.
Seth, you and I could hang.
Yeah.
How long have you been off the antidepressant?
I've been off them for a couple of months.
And how long were you on it for?
for about 2 months. I took them for about 2 months, and then I stopped taking them because my boyfriend started complaining that I never wanted to have sex. And
are you on any other medication at all right now?
No.
No birth control pills?
Nope.
Huh. And which medication was it?
It was amitriptyline.
Really? That's an old-fashioned one.
Really?
Yeah.
And that one is not known for killing the sex drive the way some of the other ones do.
How come it's not used anymore?
Because there's much better medicines.
Oh.
Way better.
Thank your doctor.
Yeah. unless you know, they were trying to just help you with sleep. Amitriptyline is not a bad sleep medicine.
Yeah, my depression caused me to have insomnia instead of wanting to sleep all the time.
Yeah.
So they put me on the amitriptyline first because it had the least amount of side effects, and it would help with sleeping.
But it's an interesting question. I imagine there are things that can sort of be residual from antidepressants, but this is not typically one of them. It makes me think more that perhaps you were more manic-y, or maybe you have a bipolar condition.
Yeah, I'm a manic depressive bipolar.
All right, so now you've flipped back into a more depressed state, and you're still there. So you need to talk. You need to see a psychiatrist. You really do. It's not a psychiatrist been treating you. You've got to get your chemistry set up, so to speak.
Okay.
You'll need to be on a mood stabilizer. It'll be much more effective for you, and it won't affect your sex drive. You won't want sex 3 times a day, but you'll want it normally. The reason you want it 3 times a day is you were hypomanic. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Any suggestions as far as a mood stabilizer? Or?
Norantin, Depakote, lithium. There are all sorts of things being done right now. It depends what your doctor thinks you need.
As a woman, by the way, how into it do you really have to be?
Trileptal. It's a good one.
You who have been faking your orgasms for, you know, millions of years.
But you know what? I think the one thing guys appreciate, and they rarely get, women are so interested in trying to figure out what the technique is they need to apply. All a guy really would put guy over the top, it seems to me, is a girl who's actually enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Or actually excited about being there.
Right.
That'd be like an unusual experience for a guy.
Right.
Right? It'd be like, oh my God, he's excited about being here with me. How's that work?
Yeah, no, we want that. We want. It's like we would rather have a dog that was happy to see us when we came through the door than one that got the slippers.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, so there you go, ladies. But hey, if the dog can get the same dog can bring the slippers too, I mean, that's a keeper, right?
Right.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
No.
Does anyone know what that means?
The analogy has gone far off course.
Sometimes I get lost my own analogies, and I think that we're actually talking about dogs or cars. All right, let's talk to Chloe up here, Drew. Okay. Chloe,
hi.
16.
Yeah.
You're an actress.
Yeah, I do independent movies.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're 16.
Yeah.
Seth is not going to be able to have sex with you for another 2 years.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Chloe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as you can tell, I have a problem with wanting to go after older men. I have been after 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. That you work with.
Yeah.
Are you going to high school now?
Yeah.
So you go to high school and you work with adults?
Yeah. Well, okay. I do it over the summer.
You do movies over the summer?
Yeah.
All right.
Any movies we've heard of, by the way?
Well, it's not out yet. It's a paintball movie.
Paintball?
Yeah.
That I'll go see.
Okay. It's called Painted Forest.
Painted Forest.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what's the story? You got to tell us the story.
I'm in a team that's against another team, and we fight in these woods, and we come across these thieves in this trailer, and they're stealing money from overtime. It's a really confusing story.
Right, pot farmers.
No, this
Hillbilly
is
pot farmers.
This is. I'll tell you what this is. It's Southern Comfort.
Right.
From 1981, where they were out training. You see this movie, Seth?
Mm.
It's like some Army Reserve group that's out training with no actual live ammo, but out in like the swamplands or something. And because, you know, we're going to fight our next war in a swamp, you know, run across some actual bad guys. So they're armed with nothing but the paintballs.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
Dude, that paintball is a whole parallel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Paintball.
You got a culture there. All right. So, did you have sex with somebody?
Oh, no, but I went after this one guy named Shannon, and he was really close to doing it, but then he said, since I'm illegal, he couldn't do it.
How old is he?
He was 20.
All right. Look, it's normal for you to be attracted to older guys. That's okay. It doesn't mean you should make a habit of it or think that it's good for you. And this guy thankfully set a boundary in an appropriate place.
Yeah.
Just cool out a little bit. Relax. It's not going to be good. Any guy that responds to it is not going to be good for you.
And by the way, Shannon, gay. not scruples, gay. He's 20. He's in a paintball movie. His name's Shannon.
Yeah.
He's turning down a hot 16-year-old named Chloe.
That's,
nobody with scruples in this business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see if you guys were, you know, this was just high school and he was a student teacher or something, or, you know, doing something like that, turning down that, you might get, but not actor. That's just gay.
I don't think I know any male Shannons. No, a lot of female Shannons.
Right. It's a chick name. That's why. Hmm. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break.
Sure.
Yes. Seth MacFarlane in the studio tonight. Always a delight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, everybody, Loveline. Dr. Drew over there, me over here. Seth MacFarlane, well, just he's facing Mecca.
Unacceptable.
You need to know. And that is him, all right. Mm. Family Guy, of course, coming back to a television set near you very soon. And this time, I imagine, much anticipated.
We hope we're on to stay this time. It's been,
It's
been off and on for 5 years, but you know, we're hoping this is it.
It's got to be nice. I mean, I've started a couple of TV shows along with my partners, and it's always tough that very beginning part where it's like, huh? And there's always some other TV show that is crappy, but reminds everyone of your show, and it's the man show is going to be like the X show, but it's only going to be on once. Yeah, okay, all right. It's nice when you can actually have the product, people know what it is, and are waiting for more of it.
It's almost like Star Wars or something. It feels like.
Yeah. It's a kind of an unprecedented situation that, you know, we're basically premiering a new show. I mean, not a new show. It's going to be the same show, but it's you know, the following is already there,
right?
Which is, you know, makes it a hell of a lot easier, obviously.
Yeah, and people know what it is when they're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a question for Seth from Sandy. Sandy?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
One quick comment. In the Y2K episode, when they say the two Denny's comments, is that the Denny's in Culver City?
Two Denny's, not, so we can say, not,
not
I don't remember what the line is.
That Denny's?
What's the line?
Let's build two Denny's, where we can say, let's not go to that Denny's, and let's go to the good Denny's.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Because
it was so long ago.
From Culver City. But my main question is Stewie really gay?
We're leaving that one up in the air. We don't know. He's kind of thus far experimented with both sides, and, you know, he's only a year old, so he's got plenty of time to figure it out, and, you know, we're saving that one.
Don't we have a Stewie drop where he comments?
And then I think to myself, my God, wouldn't it be marvelous if I turned out to be a homosexual?
Yeah.
That was from the last time I was here. I remember because I had a bad cold, and you can hear it.
Oh, really? You can hear it. I can't hear it. Sounds good. Or maybe better. Uh-oh. Ooh, freaking
Oh,
set
God.
Well, the episode where Stewie fell in love with the young girl in his romper room class was a great episode, too, by the way. Jilted, though, at the
How
end.
How about where he gets with the cheerleaders?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, there's that she side, and then ladies. At the same, then you see him at the gay bar, dancing to the techno music. So it's we play both sides of it.
He's got range.
I like
when he sung Rocket Man. See that episode?
That was, you know, it's such an obscure reference to that William Shatner. That was actually the episode we found out we were canceled, so we figured, what the hell, let's do something fun for us, like
Shatner,
duplicating Shatner's rendition of that exactly. And actually, if you put that up next to the Shatner version, every tiny gesture is exactly mimicked by Stewie.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great now, because now Shatner pretends like, oh, well, it's all done tongue-in-cheek. No,
yeah.
You're deadly serious about that, Bill.
He's still figuring out who he is.
Oh, that was a good time when... You see, nowadays, everyone's sister comes out with an album, but back in the day, if you were on TV, you cut an album. You know,
is that right?
Hoss from Bonanza had a, you know, Hoss sings the hits. I mean, everyone who was on TV sung. And it was, it'd be like, yeah, Leonard Nimoy, you're doing an album. It's like, I don't sing. Doesn't matter. You're doing it. Shatner would just talk his way through those Beatles songs. You ever hear him do it?
But it was connected to, wasn't it? He would read passages from poetry or from Shakespeare or from literature and then find a song that I guess was somehow thematically connected and then segue into the song from the spoken.
Yeah. Give us a little shot. You don't even have to do Stewie. Just give do Shatner doing Stewie, doing rock, doing Elton John.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm going to be high as a kite by then.
Drew, you're really missing out. Ooh. Yeah. You know about all that?
No.
I mean, like Lauren Green had a hit. I swear to God.
Art Carney had an album out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That one of our writers brought in. It was a Christmas album, and it's the stupidest thing you've ever heard. It's Art Carney, and the song is All I Want for Christmas is a Doodly Doop. He sings over and over and over. It's never explained exactly what it is. It's just this repetitive thing that makes you want to blow your brains out.
Ooh. Yeah, Drew, where have you been?
Wow.
You ever heard Shatner sing? It's awesome. Gets into the Beatles, just like Lucy in the Sky.
He's a versatile guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a magical man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lisa?
Yes.
You're 25?
Hello? Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, let's see. My boyfriend and I have been together for almost 3 years now, and we hardly have sex anymore. Or actually, mm-hmm. It's been that way pretty much the whole time we've been together.
Whole time?
After the first couple weeks.
Why have you stayed together?
Well,
he makes me laugh. He's my best friend. We get along great.
Best friend.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that shortly after we got together, I got pregnant. And now he says that he doesn't want to have sex because it freaks him out because he's scared that I'll get pregnant. And
all right. You had an abortion? Did you have an abortion?
Yeah.
Okay. No. How old is he?
He's 24.
Yeah. It
just doesn't fit. Something's wrong. Is he doing drugs?
No.
Hmm.
Huh.
And the best friend, I don't know. I'd say this one's done.
I just don't know what it is.
It doesn't feel, I mean, just doesn't feel like a 24 and 25-year-old are having a relationship. Are you guys sure? Are you deeply in love with him?
I am, but I mean, there's a lack of intimacy, and I've had, I've tried to talk to him about it several times, try to fix the problem, and, of course, try not to, hurt his feelings or anything. I don't think I have.
Well, what's he good for in a month?
In a month?
Yeah, how many times?
Like, probably two.
Two in a month. All right.
I wonder if that's just his rhythm.
Once in a while, you get a guy who's basically got a sloth in his underpants.
Yeah.
No, literally.
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 Yeah.
Literally.
It's tough to have sex around that sloth.
No, you've seen the claws on those things? And they're very territorial.
And they hang upside down from anything that sort of.
And they treat your nuts like cubs. They're just like little sloth cubs. They're very protective.
They're fascinating creatures.
They really are. Okay. So that could be his rhythm. And sometimes you can, go in there and flip his metronome a little bit and get him to pick up the pace. But he's never going to be three times a day.
Right. There are a lot of, we don't know that about him, though. There could be a lot of explanations for this, including maybe it's not Lisa, maybe he has other things going on, maybe he's gay, maybe, who knows? We don't know.
Also, once in a while, there are these guys who get in relationships, and then once it becomes this sort of long-term relationship, they just become their partner.
Yeah,
these are the guys start calling their old lady mommy. Or even old lady. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm screwed. I got to get home. I get home and bang the bejesus out of my wife right now. I understand, Drew, you're coming with me. I need backup.
Mommy?
All right, I don't know what the answer is other than go ahead and tell the guy what you want. And, 3 years you guys been together from he was 21, you were 22, now you're in your mid-20s. It's time to sort of ask or get off the pot.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a great relationship, even though you sort of, on one hand, call it a great friendship and a great friend. you explicitly say there's no intimacy, and that's not a great way to that isn't going to be a relationship that's satisfying over the long haul.
Right. All right. Let's speaking of unsatisfying, Leah.
Hi.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's the matter?
Well, I'm 6 months pregnant. I've been on and off in this relationship for about 3.5 years, and he is 12 years my senior, and I got pregnant, and 6 months pregnant, he decided that it was a good idea for him to leave, and he's, like, extremely immature and, like, doesn't know how to, be an adult, you know?
All right. So, what's he do? Construction?
Wow, that was a pretty good guess. No, he owns his own business. He's an electrician.
Oh. Way off. I thought he was in the construction field.
Same area, though.
Thank you. Yeah, I know these guys. I work with them. They don't. Their kids don't have names. They call them the kid. Kid and the old lady. The kid wants a retainer, but I'm getting a new Kirker pipe for the jet ski. Screw him. Look at my teeth. They're fine. I didn't have a retainer. You're only going to lose it. All right, it's a bad guy. You shouldn't have let him impregnate you, but now he has. Hmm. I don't know that you can draw him back or make him, you know, more mature than he actually is. I don't think you should expect much from him. If you're going to have this kid, and you are, he has to be financially responsible.
Right. He's obliged to be involved, but
good luck getting it out of him.
Right, it's not going to be a great experience.
All right, so Leah.
Mm-hmm.
If he's out, you can't make him interested in something he's not interested in. And that makes him a bad guy, and it makes you stupid for being with a bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And now the kid's got to pay the consequences. That's fine. You be as good a mom as you can. You'll find a guy soon enough. The kid will have a solid stepdad. Make sure that's the right guy. And this guy can pay child support.
Well, but my big...
No, I summed it up. That's it. There's no going back from that. We're finished. I'm like the dealer at the blackjack table does this and this. And you're going, blah, I want another hit. No, no. You're just looking at the back of the tight Asian ass on those women. Very, okay. A quick break. Be right back. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. All right. I want to thank the great Seth MacFarlane for coming in here.
Thank you guys.
Always a delight. And, look forward to American Dad, which is coming out. And I forgot to ask Seth if he does voices on it. He must.
I do. I do a couple of voices on American Dad. I do the father and the alien. And we have a...
Oh, you do the alien. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, don't give too much away. Oh, but that's the Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
Oh, do you do a Paul Lynn?
I do, yeah.
One shot. Give us a shot of Paul Lynn.
Ed Sullivan Show.
There you go, Paul Lynn. Yeah. We have a great cast. Wendy Schall doing Francine, who's the mom. Dee Bradley Baker is an extremely talented voiceover actor doing the fish, German-speaking fish.
Wow.
My sister Rachel.
Oh, really?
Through no involvement of my
she's
own.
Good too,
believe it or not. Yeah, she's really...
Wow.
Is the daughter. And we had cast someone else in the network
approached
us and said, just so you know, we'd like you to use Rachel. And Scott Grimes doing the son, Steve, who's on ER.
We're going to take a little extended break because way past due.
In all my years, I've never heard you guys kiss as much ass in one night. More than Alec Baldwin, anyone else.
Really?
Huge ass.
I think I greased up Baldwin's ass pretty good.
Not in the air so much.
Not in the air so much.
I'll take it.
All right, so until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
And I'm going to be high.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.